He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In 1930, the communist leader Bukharin traveled from Moscow to Kiev to address a huge assembly. His subject for the day was atheism. He spent an hour destroying Christianity, criticizing it, blasting it. When he was done, he looked over the huge crowd and he just smiled. In his mind, mission accomplished. He even had the gall to ask anybody if they had any questions. Crowd was dead quiet until one man way in the back stood up and slowly walked towards the front. And as he kept walking towards the front, every eye was upon him, watching him. Who is this guy? What's he going to do? He's crazy to stand up. What's he doing? He walked out the steps of the platform, and Bukharin just smeared at him. And he asked him if he could talk at the microphone. Bukharin said, sure, go ahead. The man stood up, and in dead silence, you could tell he was shaking. He was just scared. He looked out over the crowd, and suddenly he cried out, Christ is risen! And the whole assembly stood up and screamed back at him, he is risen indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Wish I could have been there. Matthew 28 is our scripture for today. Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said, don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. Lord Jesus, thank you for this message from the angel. A message that turned the world upside down. Praise you, Lord. Help us look at the message this morning, Lord. Help us to see it through your eyes. Help us, Lord, to apply it to ourselves, Lord, today and every day. Praise you, O God, for the empty tomb. Amen. Amen. The angel who announced the good news of the resurrection to the women gave them basically four messages. And I want to look at those this morning. First, the angel said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The reality of the resurrection brings joy, not fear. But you wouldn't know it. As you look at this story, the religious leaders were afraid of Jesus, deathly afraid of him. That's one of the reasons why they were willing to pervert their own judicial laws to quickly condemn him to die. Jesus had no chance of a fair trial. False witnesses were sought to testify against him. No time for a defense was allowed for Jesus. The trial was conducted at night in the high priest's home. Completely illegal. This fear led them to pervert the justice they were appointed to protect. You would think that this fear would have died with Jesus on the cross. But the religious leaders were almost as afraid of Jesus after his death as when he was alive. Look at chapter 27 in Matthew, 27:62. The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing the body and then telling everyone he was raised from the dead." And look at this sentence. Look at this sentence. "If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at first." They were more afraid of what might happen after his death than they were when he was still living. And against this overwhelming fear, the angel proclaims, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. God is perfect love. The Bible says that love casts out fear. You don't have to be afraid." Man, we live in a scary world. We live in a scary world. And the angel says to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the collapsed economy. Don't be afraid of the escalating situation with North Korea. Don't be afraid of the pirates off the coast of Somalia. Don't be afraid regarding the war in Iraq. Don't be afraid of death. Don't be afraid. He's not here. He is risen. And the same resurrection power that brought him out of the grave is here today to empower you. To empower you, 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 and me. That's the good news, the message. Because he is risen. And then the angel says, he's not here. Look inside. Go ahead, look, 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 look. Look inside. It's empty. He isn't here, just like he said. Why are you looking for the alive in a cemetery? He's alive. Somebody once wrote, "The stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out, but so others could look in and see that Jesus had indeed risen from the dead." Jesus didn't need help getting out of the grave. We need help looking in. And it's empty. You know, come on, do the Romans actually think they could keep the Son of God behind a rock? I mean, really? I love this. Look at Pilate, what Pilate says. Oh, you got to wonder maybe if Pilate knew something. You know, after all he went through with Jesus, all his dealings, that maybe it finally hit him. Maybe Jesus really was who he said he was. I mean, I don't know, but look at this. It's 27:65. Chapter 27, again, verse 65. Incredible. Pilate says, "Take guards and secure it the best you can." Like he knew something. Oh, go ahead, try. I can just see Pilate smirking all over when he says that. I don't know. I wonder if he did. I love that. Secure, seal the tomb, you know, secure it the best that you can. I don't know, but I wonder. I just wonder. Did he finally figure out who Jesus was? I don't know. Angel says, "Come, see where his body was lying. Come, check it out for yourself. The tomb is empty. Look at the evidence. Consider the evidence." Ever hear of Lew Wallace? Lew Wallace. A century ago, he was the governor of the state of New Mexico. I think I shared this story with you a long time ago, but it fits perfectly. Let me share it again. But I think you'll remember once I get going here. But here's what Lew Wallace set out to write a book, and here's what happened. He says, "I had always been an agnostic and denied Christianity. Robert C. Ingersoll, a famous agnostic, was one of my most intimate friends. He once said to me, See here, Wallace, you're a learned man and a thinker. Why don't you gather material and write a book to prove the falsity concerning Jesus Christ? That no such man has ever lived, much less the author of the teachings found in the New Testament, such a book would make you famous. It'd be a masterpiece and a way of putting an end to the foolishness about the so-called Christ. Several years were spent in this work. He says, I had written nearly 4 chapters when it became clear to me, after examining the evidence, that Jesus Christ was real. Oh. Was real. I knew that Jesus Christ had lived because of the evidence. I was in an uncomfortable position. I had begun to write a book to prove that Jesus Christ had never lived. Now I was face to face with the fact that he was just as historic a person as Julius Caesar, Mark Antony, Virgil, Dante, and a host of other men who lived in those days. And I asked myself candidly, if he was real, then maybe he really was the Son of God. Maybe he really was the Savior of the world. Gradually the consciousness grew that since Jesus Christ was a real person, he probably was who he claimed to be. I fell on my knees to pray for the first time in my life. And I asked God to reveal himself to me, forgive my sins, help me to become a follower of Christ. Towards morning, the lights broke into my soul. I went into my bedroom. I woke up my wife and told her that I had received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Oh, Lou, she cried out. I prayed for this. Ever since you told me if you're going to write that stupid book, that you would find him while you were writing. And you know what? Lou Wallace did write a famous book. But it wasn't to disclaim Christianity. But all that he learned about the time period and so on and that culture and such of Jesus' day, he did write a book and they made it into a movie. Don't see it much anymore. It's an old movie. Charlton Heston was in it. And it wasn't Moses this time. But maybe you remember, it's called Ben-Hur. Ben-Hur, he wrote Ben-Hur. And the chariot race is known for that chariot race. You see Charlton. But in that movie, time and time again, they refer to Jesus. Deliberately. Because Lou Wallace wrote it that way. He wanted it that way. He checked out the angel says, come on, check out the evidence. Lou Wallace checked out the evidence and he found the living Christ. Because the tomb is empty. And he's alive. The evidence changed his life. And then the angel says, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Matthew 28:18. Go tell. Reminds me of what we call the Great Commission. Jesus came and Jesus has risen from the dead. He's about to ascend back into heaven and he says to his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. The angel said, go tell. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go tell. Compare that to one more scripture in Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we find these words. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Jesus says, and you will be my witnesses telling people. The angel said, go tell. Jesus said, go make disciples. Here he says, tell people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Go tell. He's saying that to us too. Go tell. Early Friday morning, we're guessing, Darren took his own life. See, some people live till they're 18. Some people live till they're 10. Some people live till they're 90, 100. We don't know how old your neighbor's going to live to be, how old your friend's going to live to be, how old a family member's going to live to be. That's why we don't waste time. Go tell means go tell now, today. Go tell your neighbors. Go tell your family members. Go tell your friends about Jesus. Go tell them the tomb is empty. Because we don't know when life's going to end. Many of our teenage high school kids, Christian kids, praise God for them. Talk to him, witness to him. Day after day after day. Planted seed. That's our job. We plant seed. God has to make it grow. We plant it. We don't save anybody. Jesus saves. We plant the seed. And they did it time and time again. Praise God for Christian teenagers. Amen. We don't know what happened the moment Darren faced death. We don't know the conversation he and God had. I want to believe there was one. But that's all I know. And that's all we're going to know. But we have hope. As I shared with a lot of the kids yesterday during our grief sessions at the high school, everyone's asking why? I'm asking why too, and I don't know why. I don't know why. But we got to ask the second question. After we ask why, we have to ask, now what? Now what? What do we do? What have we learned? What do we learn from Darren's life that will empower us to make a difference in somebody else's life? And the answer's right there, go tell. Go tell. Union County is full of Darrens. People who are hurting, confused, feeling overwhelmed. And it's our joy and responsibility to go tell. To go tell. The message of the angel is incredible. I wanted you to read it again. Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He has risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come, see where the body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Oh God, help us to remember what you said. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Father God, praise you and thank you. Praise you and thank you.